Hi besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag, because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens, hotel edition, again.
We're in person, together! We don't have a weird internet lag.
No, I know, the internet lag's been getting a little funny lately, eh?
Sometimes, it's like, it can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Esky Cuties, we do this for you across the nation. But today, Juice and I are both in Edmonton. We were here for Drag Fest. My phone is getting notifications. I'll put that on silent, Esky Cuties. How was Drag Fest for you, Juice?
Drag Fest was fun. It did rain, unfortunately. Yeah. So it was a little bit cold and wet. But I put in my music like that day, so I decided to do Here Comes the Rain Again and Rain on Me, because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's raining, what a great opportunity to do songs about rain. Mm-hmm. And then during my number and my number alone, the sky opened, the sun came out and shone down on all of us, and God said, this day isn't about you, Juice.
No. You think your main character energy?
No.
And we are just going to flip the script and say, whatever your mood is, that's not going to coincide with the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wet.
It was wet.
So if any Esky Cuties were there in the fields, we love you. This was an outdoor event. So it raining really meant that they were getting
wet.
So wet. At the meet and greet, I hugged so many sopping wet articles of clothing that I was starting to get concerned, because it was like they felt cold,
like the kind of cold where you're cold like in your core. Yeah. Where you're deeply cold, you know. I wouldn't have stayed if I was watching. I wouldn't have stayed.
So that's why the fact that some people did just means so much to mm-hmm, us. So mm-hmm. If anyone who listens was also there, thank you so much. We had an absolute blast, and hopefully they do this event again, and the sun comes out.
Yes.
Not
oh
just
my gosh.
For your number. To
Not
kill
for
the
my
vibe.
Number. Yes, for all numbers. It would be nice if the sun came out for all of them. But, you know, it was a really fun day. I got to do a bunch of fun little TikToks with everybody. I finally got to do my Swiftie TikTok.
You did.
I was really excited.
The one that you passive-aggressively one time said, I wish I had friends to make this with.
When I say that, I mean, friends, that I can just call up and do whenever. Not, friends that I barely see.
Esky Cuties, Juice, reposted this thing just being like, I wish I had friends to, make this with. And then the comments were flooded with, Courtney Conkers, Kendall Jenner, me. Just all being like, we'll make this with you, girl. We didn't know you wanted to do that.
No, it's because it's so cringy to, ask people, hey, will you make this Taylor Swift TikTok with me? It feels weird.
I know what you mean about the cringe. The content creation cringe. Mm-hmm. You broke through it. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Because I feel like you made some funny videos.
Thank you. I made a lot of funny videos yesterday. If anybody wants to see a really funny video of Michaela, I posted. She had such a great idea. And we should have done it on her TikTok, but I said, no.
Mine.
It's mine.
That really would have been more appropriate.
It would have been more appropriate for hers.
But check it out. It's hilarious.
Hilarious. But in all of that time, we still had time to watch All Stars 8.
Oh, we always make time for All Stars 8.
We always make time for All Stars 8. And I think it needs to be said.
Say it.
I really don't like this season.
You're struggling with it?
I'm struggling. Yeah. Today, this episode was better. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy this episode, but I like a true crime moment.
Yes.
People are quitting everywhere. It feels like no one's really invested. It's kind of rough.
I'll be honest. It's because we have the podcast and we've been doing, the recaps, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm totally invested. I even take notes. But there have been a couple of points throughout each episode where I'm just like, all right, where's this? Where's it going? What are we doing?
It's not that I'm not invested. It's just that I feel like, it feels like they're not invested.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. I'm picking up on the overall, energy from the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I do love Jimbo.
Yes. No, I love Jimbo. I still love Jimbo. And I'm still very much team Jimbo to, take it to the end.
Yeah. And actually, I think I love all the queens individually. I think it's just the way the show is, shaping up as a season.
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. It's like, as individuals, they're awesome and great. But it's like, when you make queens do what they're not great at, it's like, I don't know. Sometimes that's going to not make for the most entertaining episode. Or maybe it will. I don't know. But should we dive in?
Let's dive in.
Okay. My heart is still broken that James is gone. It doesn't make sense.
Yes. It doesn't make sense. And I also think it probably shouldn't have been James, especially after watching this episode.
Mm-hmm. And can we talk about how the whole cast, literally the week prior, everyone voted Kahana. And then the next week, all of a sudden, unanimously, they picked James.
Because Kahana had a win. And it's like, oh, is that how we're voting? For me, it was Shady Boots.
I saw a TikTok and someone was like, what happened? Did something happen behind the scenes?
I don't think so. No, I think the way that they were going about it was they all unanimously decided to, like, start going on track record versus going on, like, getting rid of a competitor. And I think they saw James as a heavy competitor.
I agree.
Right? And she got pangina'd. She got Jimbo'd. Mm-hmm. And they said goodbye. Because Kahana, while she has a win, she's not doing great.
What did she win for again?
I don't remember.
I can't either. Was it the very first week? It was one of the more dance-based...
I don't know. I just know that they said, you have a win. And I was just like, where is the win, you know? So I don't remember. Maybe it was the first two episodes because I wasn't really invested in those two because of DragCon.
Fair.
Yeah.
Super fair. We did have to, like, binge through, like, 3 hours of Drag Race.
So maybe it was those episodes. But, yeah, she kind of just, it feels like she's, like, not really in it.
I just feel like all of a sudden they changed the strategy conveniently to get rid of James.
Me too.
And that makes me sad, so I'm still mourning that loss. But this week's Maxi Challenge is an improv challenge. Yes, and they're doing an improv acting challenge called Forensic Queens, where it's unscripted, but they know their character arcs. Juice, do you like improv?
I was on the improv team in high school.
Shut up!
I was.
Shut up! Maybe that's why you're such a good podcaster, because it's literally, we kind of script this loosely, but...
Yes. And
Anthony, insert applause sound effects. Air horn.
Yes, and no, yeah, I like improv a lot. I think it's super fun, you know, just to have fun with people and just to kind of create like scenarios. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
It's very hard to make it good.
To make it good and not to fall on a low-hanging fruit, you know, like a cheap joke, which I love a cheap joke, so I fall for a low-hanging fruit all the time. But I find to make it clever. I actually really liked this challenge.
I think overall it was really fun, just a little lengthy, but we can dive into it.
We'll dive into that.
We'll dive into it as cute cuties one moment at a time.
It felt like a feature film.
Truly.
Yeah.
But I did find it interesting that for this challenge, you really can't blame the writing. Because it's coming out of your head. Mm-hmm. It's just these characters. So when the queens were casting, it's interesting because I feel like you could make any character anything. Mm-hmm. Like you get a synopsis of the character itself, but it's like you never know. Maybe this like on paper quiet librarian could say like foul, rude things. Yeah. And you could make it like hilarious. So I just find it interesting the way, again, we had a lot of drama with the casting of these roles, and all of a sudden we get Waterworks from Alexis Michelle.
Oh my god. Okay, so you know I love following the Twitter tea.
Yeah, oh tell me.
So right now what was happening on Twitter was when the preview first came out, Candy immediately retweeted it and said those white women tears are dangerous or something along those lines. And so then a lot of people kind of like jumped on that. Which is like fair, like it's a valid statement. White women tears are like an epidemic, you know. And then Alexis posted like, "Hey guys, I just saw the edit, but just know that my tears weren't because of Candy; they were from something else." But she never specifies what. She kind of just says like, "Being there is so overwhelming, and I'm a very sensitive person, and it's just a lot." So, but it's like for me, it's like you're inherently still saying
white woman tears.
It's still kind of white woman tears because you're still saying, like, this situation is what made me cry, not Candy. But it's just like, but Candy's in the situation. So, yeah, it's Candy's.
Yeah, either way you slice the cheese, it's still fragility. And then all of a sudden, you're making Candy feel weird for also just defending herself. Because Alexis came in hot. This was her second time with the whole Candy wants a role. She's getting her role. And so I think she was a little more aggressive. And then completely flips.
Yeah.
Uno reverse card. It's just like, I'm going to start crying.
Yeah. And it's just like, we're all grown, you know? Like,
and Candy wasn't having any of it.
No.
She's like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not doing the waterworks. This isn't going to water work. And then she starts to she starts to get up and
this
leave.
This isn't going
to
water work.
And then all of a sudden, we get Miss Kahana upset by the Eng in the room. Isn't that what happened? Like, all of a sudden, we've got Alexis crying in one moment, and then I swear the next scene or the next beat, Kahana's like, you know what? I don't want to do this.
Oh my God, yeah. Kahana's... No, because Kahana said she knew she was going to do bad.
Right, so we find out it's an acting challenge. Kahana isn't in love with it because she's not an acting queen.
Yeah, she got in her head. So she got in her head, she knew she was going to do bad, so she was just like, it's now my time to quit, because Heidi is a trendsetter. Heidi is an icon. Heidi is a trendsetter, and Heidi has paved the way for girls to just run out of this season. So
let loose.
So Kahana decided it was her time, and I don't want to say it wasn't genuine, because I'm sure she was overwhelmed and wanted it all to end. And mm-hmm. This room feels very dramatic.
Yes.
Like, they all feel like Alexis is very dramatic, yep. which we love. Mm-hmm. Candy is very dramatic. Yes. Like, Candy's dramatic. Like, Jimbo, you know, there's some drama with Jimbo. And mm-hmm. I think Jimbo's a very, like, low-key chill person, but I think Jimbo's characters are very big and dramatic. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this group... I don't want to say toxic. Toxic's the wrong word.
Well, Jimbo's bulletproof. I actually think that's the dynamic. Mm-hmm. This season it's really flattering to Jimbo's skill set.
Yes.
So they get to kind of exist in this really fun playland.
Yes.
And then all the other queens, that this is not their skill set, that's just so much more challenging. Like,
but what I mean is that their personalities are dramatic. So I think what happens is when you get people like that in a room together, it amplifies.
Yeah.
Because they feed off each other. Like, one time me and my manager were on a flight, and we're both bad with turbulence. So then we both were like feeding off of each other's energy. Mm-hmm. But when I sit next to someone like Cynthia, who sleeps the entire flight and there's a little bit of turbulence, I look over at the cat next to me and I feel calmer, good. You know? So it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, when there's people, you feed those energies and they grow. It's like a fire.
# neglect for the win.
Yes, neglect your friends when they're scared on planes, and that will make them feel better. I'm like, Cynthia, I'm really scared. And she's like...
You're like, okay,
guess I'm better.
Got it on my own.
Yeah. I bet I'm actually flying on planes now. But yeah, that's what I kind of mean, is that there. I feel like this is all just like a fire that's being fed.
Okay.
You know? And I feel like Kahana probably wouldn't have made that decision in a different group.
It just was really funny, because we had her feeling awkward or uncomfortable. Then we had the Alexis and Candy dispute.
Yes.
And then we go back to Kahana, and she's just very, you know what?
I'm done.
I can't do this. This isn't working for me. And it really just felt so out of pocket. Mm-hmm. But to the point where we got RuPaul
Ooh.
Coming back into the workroom on her lunch break.
Yeah, she finishes her quinoa salad and comes in to rip these girls apart.
It was so funny how her tone was mad, but her words were inspirational.
She looked pissed.
Like, she was not into it. I'm sure the shock of Heidi leaving the season in the first place through production, because Heidi was such a strong competitor, mm-hmm. I feel like she would have lasted longer. And then all of a sudden, production doesn't have one of their lovable favorites, fan yes. favorites. And so to lose another queen, Rue would just be like, nah, y'all stay in put.
Yeah.
Because it's... You're there. You sign up for it. I don't think I would ever, I don't know. Who knows? I haven't been in this situation, but I just don't think I'd ever quit. I don't think I would ever drop out.
I think quitting, if it's good for your mental well-being and you need to leave.
Absolutely.
Because there's been a lot of queens who had to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, like Isis. Yes. And...
Isis.
Isis and Dayla and Adore. But they felt... In those moments, like, they needed to do it. Mm-hmm. When I say, like, I feel like maybe Kahana, and Kahana even said it, she was just like, I didn't need to leave. I needed somebody to slap me back into place.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what I'm saying. I feel like they're all just feeding off of each other's energy right now. And it was just like it feels like that room would be tense and overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I would ever want to be in that cast.
Yeah, there's a lot of large energies. Mm-hmm. But I liked Rue's points where it's like, this is the biggest stage you will ever get to showcase your drag. It's like, do you want to walk away from that? That's like a big choice. And mm-hmm. so we kind of woke the girls up.
Yeah. Even Candy cried.
It was funny that Candy cried. I didn't think she needed to cry. She saved her tears for RuPaul.
I think so too.
Yeah. I was just
because I was like, oh, what are we doing?
Why are we crying now?
Why are we crying? But that's what I'm saying.
I thought you didn't like.
I feel like it's an overwhelming space, and they're all look like all of them look like they're on edge. They're like Toronto drag queens. Mm-hmm. They're ready to snap at any second.
Oh my god, you need to be careful with those Toronto drag queens. Maybe low blood sugar or something.
We're all ready to snap at any minute.
But then, just remember, this is a fun experience.
When she said that, I went, for you.
I know. I will say, Drag Race is many, many things as a contestant.
Fun?
Fun is actually lower on the list than you would think. I think you can find pockets of joy, but it is so stressful.
So stressful.
That, like, to say the whole experience is fun is just, it's almost a glazing or a glossing over of how much pressure you are under as a contestant.
Like, I think it's tone deaf.
I find it, that's the word. Yeah. I couldn't find the word. It's a little tone deaf.
It's tone deaf. It feels like, who was I talking to about it? They said, it feels like we're on the precipice of the tell-all documentary of mistreatment of queens on Drag Race.
That's it. It's literally like gaslighting the audience about being like,
we're having fun.
This is so much fun. Meanwhile, you have IBS in your hotel room. And, like, you can't sleep because you're just so stressed out and terrified that you're going to make a fool of yourself on national television, like, international television.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. You can find the fun, but it's a little flippant to just say, like,
it's fun.
Yeah, make me laugh.
And I think and that's not to say that Drag Race is, like, we're dunking on Drag Race.
No.
I think it's just you need to know you need to be aware and you need to say the reality of what the show is.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to be like, this is a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. This is the Olympics of drag. I want you to show me the best thing you have. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone were to be like, I can't wait for this very fun experience of Drag Race, I'd be like, you're in for such a rude awakening.
Girl, that was me the first time.
Oh, really?
I literally was just like, I just want to have fun. And then I brought bad clothes. And it's like, once I got there, I still did have fun, but I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, this is different than what I thought. I thought it was going to be a little more like drama camp.
No.
No. No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
What did you think about RuPaul saying, like, don't listen to your feelings? Your feelings aren't facts. Like, that advice about, like...
I get it. As, like, an anxious person, your feelings aren't facts. Your feelings are feelings.
But just sometimes, do they keep you safe? Like, I'm worried about going ditch to ditch. Like, all of a sudden, I'll just, like, ignore all of my feelings.
I think there's something to be said about de-escalation.
Okay.
You know, so like what I have to
That room needed to de-escalate.
They needed to de-escalate. So that's when you say your feelings aren't facts. Because for me, my anxiety tells me something and I have to de-escalate that thought. And that's a feeling, right? My feeling is saying you're going to die in this moment.
Right.
You know, so I have to de-escalate that and know that that's not a fact. I think there's truth to that saying, but it's not one of the things where it's just like, I love you, you know, that's a fact.
I just was getting it. I think I was misinterpreting it, where it's like, you know, that gut instinct to keep you safe in life, where it's like, stranger danger, this is not a safe environment.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking RuPaul was just saying, like, ignore all of that.
You know what? If a stranger comes up to you with candy, you get in the van.
Yeah.
Take it, girl. Get in the van.
Yeah.
That's
and remember, have fun.
And have fun.
I did love our little moment with Jimbo and Kahana, though.
That was nice.
That was really sweet. I actually found it really cool of Jimbo, the way they explained the fun, like saying what sparks joy for you. It's kind of a cool insight into the psyche of Jimbo as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can tell they truly are following that advice. And we see it in this acting challenge as well. You find the thing that like kind of makes you giggle and then don't have any sort of shame or doubt about it, because it's like, if it's actually making you happy, if it's actually making you have fun. And it reminded me of my Snatch Game experience, where I just leaned into something that I enjoyed, and that translates.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having a good time, you're in the driver's seat, you can really navigate a performance. And so I thought this was really cool advice. And Kahana did need to hear that. She needed something.
And I think it helped her.
Yeah.
She did a great job. If any, and we'll get to it, but I think she did better than what I think the episode laid out for her.
Oh, you think?
I do.
Huh. We'll be right back after the break. And we're back. Okay, let's dive into Forensic Queens, the improvised maxi challenge for the week.
The movie, the film.
The film.
The Avatar 2.5-hour James Cameron movie. This thing was so long.
It was really long. The word, I said film. Do you ever say film?
Film? I only say film if I'm doing an impersonation of that makeup artist.
Hello. The one that's really pale.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah. Hello. I have a British friend and I sent him that person. I can't remember their name right now. I'm blanking on it. And I said, what accent is this? And they went, it's really rural and trash. And I went, really? And
they were like, it sounds so posh.
I was like, it sounds so posh and glamorous. And he's like, no, it's trash.
It makes me laugh when people say film.
Film.
I used to have, I remember specifically in like grade 3 or 4, it was a spelling test. And she said the word to spell. Film. And she was like, the word is film. And I inserted an E between the L and the M.
When I hear film, I think P-H-I-L-L-U-M. Like when you say film, that's where my mind goes. I think it's like a mushroom.
Like literally. Yeah. A fungi.
Yeah, some kind of fungi. Film. Just film growing on the side of a tree. Like what? Anyways. What? Speaking of a fungi growing on the side of the tree.
This had time to grow.
It did. Oh, you you saved the segue.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
It had time to grow. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say about this, we didn't have to watch them making it.
Yes, because I think this is maybe what I love about an improv challenge. It's like a stir fry. You just throw it on the hot sizzling pan. We go. There's no prep. We don't do all this like, I mean, that's actually ironic because there's a lot of prep with stir fry. So bad example, but we just didn't see the rehearsal.
Perfect.
We didn't see it. We didn't need it. No. Because every time it's always kind of like edited in this way where you make one girl feel like she's in the hot seat when she's actually not. And we just didn't need all that rigmarole. Although it did make the scene or the movie, the film, very long.
It made it very long.
I think it was like 20 minutes.
It was, but me, selfishly, I love watching true crime shows.
Okay.
So I loved it because it's that same layout of like those like silly little shows and like the reenactments. Mm-hmm. Like I loved American Horror Story, Roanoke or whatever you say it.
Say that again.
Roanoke? How do you say it?
American Horror Story film.
Film. It was the one where half of it was the true crime story. Yes. And the other half was the actual thing. I loved that season because I love those like true crime shows.
The reenactment.
Oh my God. I love them. Like they're like middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Like it's sunny out, but you don't want to go outside, so you just watch one of those like curled up in a blanket. Like I love those.
I just want to watch someone get murdered.
His skin was slowly peeled off of his skull. Like so relaxing.
I will say it was fun to see the Queens shot in a completely different camera style. Mm-hmm. They shifted to documentary. It was like the way in which they captured the Queens multicam, it was really well done.
Yeah.
It was really fun to see them kind of look like they were in a film because those are expensive big cameras, but because of the set, the way they light it, it's almost like Barbie Playhouse, Barbie Dreamhouse.
They felt like security cameras.
Yes, they can at times.
Yeah.
Because it's so bright. So it's cool to see them go a little more mood and like cinematic.
Oh, the interview ones.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, I was a big fan. I thought it was super funny. I thought Jessica, you really got those kind of like little fun moments of Jessica's other acting challenges from her first season, like this drink. I felt that.
She was so funny.
She killed me. She was hilarious.
She was one of my favorite parts. She's just very sincere. Like the way she was talking so seriously about like a Mexican food order. Like it just,
she loved the way she loved the tacos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it was so funny. Like she could read the phone book.
Yeah.
And just like she has this way, this comedic timing with pausing, where she like she just takes it, and she just she runs with it. It was really funny.
I like her a lot.
I think this is one of her challenges to win. Honestly.
Yeah, I felt like she, but then like to go to Lala. Mm. Lala said, "I'm going to take every bit of funny in me and I'm going to just vomit it all over." And she was so funny.
Yes. She was really, really good. When we got to see her driving the little cart, like the golf cart,
with
her leg out, I was concerned because I was like, don't break your leg. And then in love because it was chaos.
It was
chaos.
Just
never stopped.
And the way she was just like holding the character so close and like just like never breaking character at all, I was a huge fan. And it was kind of nice to see someone really shine that wasn't Jimbo.
I get that. So get that.
Because, like, I love Jimbo and I love watching Jimbo shine, but mm-hmm. it was nice to send to see someone else finally thrive.
Yeah, like, share the stage. Mm-hmm. I will say, Jimbo's stinky finger, that made me laugh.
I liked it. It made me laugh, but it almost felt like...
Separate from the rest of it?
No. It almost felt like everyone was on par with Jimbo, finally.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like Jimbo was kind of leading the pack, which it has felt like that with a lot of these challenges. It felt like people were, like, kind of in their element a bit more, and they were, like, on par with Jimbo, mm-hmm. where they could be, like, they could create something funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one scene that I thought was a little Ako Taco was with Alexis Candy and Jimbo in the, like, investigation room or something. Yeah. I felt like they weren't finding their, like, tango, their quick step.
I think there was some residual tension.
Oh, right, because everyone was crying and quitting.
Yeah, I think there was some residual tension. And with improv, you got to be, like, so comfortable.
Exactly. They tried to do it in the mirror chat, right? Like, Alexis was like, hey, we have to do this, like, scene right now. Like, yeah. Are we good? Like, yeah, probably thinking that.
You can't have any kind of animosity. You have to be able to have fun with yeah. people around you, especially with improv.
Yeah. Yes, you know? And not, no, don't, bitch.
Yeah, no. I know, improv, it's so hard to put a no in improv.
It does not work.
No, it's so hard. And if you say no, you almost have to, like, spin it.
Yeah.
Right? You've got, no, but, we gotta, you gotta change the direction really mm-hmm. hard so then that person can yes end it.
Did you ever watch The Office?
Oh my God, yeah, of course. Michael, I'm a millennial.
Michael Scott. Michael Scott bringing a hypothetical gun into every improv scene. That will go down as one of the funniest little quick openers on that show.
Yeah.
The way he pretended in every improv scene that he had a gun and to the rules of yes and, all of his fellow improvers would roll their eyes and go down to the floor with their hands up. Gold. Comedic gold. Like, that is so funny to me.
You're like, God damn it, Michael.
The cardinal rule of yes and.
You've got to do it.
Another gun.
And I've got a gun. Imagine doing that in this.
And they took the gun away and he's like, I have one in my ankle. Like, he kept going. Could you imagine? Yeah, you bring a gun. Imagine
that. Candy just keeps pulling guns out.
Oh my God. You know who could have done that? Alexis. I felt like her character needed to be zanier.
Oh, Alexis's character read so flat for me.
Yeah. And as flat as that wig.
Oh, that wig was rough. She also looked like very dark.
Maybe the moody lighting doesn't work for
the
her.
The moody lighting didn't look good for her. I went, ooh, Alexis. I thought she was like biracial, like in the lighting. I was like, whoa, what's happening here?
Maybe it was the coloring of what she was with. Like, it was a lot of the reds.
So I think it was the lighting.
Okay,
yeah. I think it was the lighting, because I know she doesn't paint that way.
Mm-mm.
No, it was the lighting. But when she first walked out, I went, what is this yellowy deep light they have on her mm-hmm. right now? And that fucking bob. Yeah, I thought she read really flat in this episode. Like, her and Candy were my bottoms, actually.
I know.
Yeah, Candy read really flat for me.
Candy was actually okay. She had a couple moments where she was, like, flirting with the camera. She was sucking on the sucker. Like, she was giving me enough to, like, smile. Whereas Alexis, I was just like, where is the zany?
Where's the whimsy?
Where's the whimsy? Where's the wacky? Where's the wine? You know?
Where is it?
Because you get your character synopsis. That's great. That's kind of your foundation. Jimbo did not have a written part on their character synopsis saying, stinky finger. That is them.
And she darkened and made it all look brown.
Disgusting. And, like, it was insane.
Yeah.
But that's a perfect example of having your foundation as a characterization, and then you whack it up a little because that's how you're going to break through the noise. Mm-hmm. I felt like every other queen kind of had a zany moment, like a prop or something. Like, Candy was horny. Jimbo was, like, zany. Lala Ri was drunk. Like, a lot of the queens mm-hmm. added a prop.
Yeah. That's like something to go back to.
Totally. You know? Whereas Alexis had nothing.
Well, even that, like, piece of toilet paper on her shoe that kind of got ignored.
That should have been there the whole time.
Yeah.
The toilet paper should have been getting worse. Like, in the investigation scene, she should have had the toilet paper, like, in her ear.
Yeah, or, like it's, like, there's one, like, down on her shoulder, or, like, she's wrapped in it by the end. Like, it just keeps building, and it's, yes. But no one talks about it.
No one talks about it.
No one mentions it.
Oh, my God, that's an amazing idea.
Right? No one mentions it, but then eventually she's a mummy. Right? Or it's, like, the scene where the hat keeps getting bigger.
Yes.
And no one ever talks about this giant hat.
Yeah, she needed to take it by the balls and just, like, run with it a bit more.
But maybe there's residual tension from the morning where you can't, because you, again, with improv, you really got to commit.
And SQ Cuties, these are quick from, like, getting your maxi challenge handed to you. If you're not rehearsing, they probably, like, all in all did this in, like, a few hours.
I would say, yeah.
You know?
Well, with the length of it, maybe, like, a month.
With that whole interrupt. No, I mean that particular day.
No, I was making a joke.
Oh, sorry. I blanked out for a second. I was thinking about my next point.
So it was a joke about how long it was. No, Juice, it was a day.
I was like, no.
No, babe. Silly.
Silly goose.
That's a whole month for the whole season.
That part. So it's really quick. So you're right. If she was in her feelings, that'd be
hard to shake it.
That'd be the difference between, like, I don't know. Like, do you ever, like, you're not in the mood for, like, taking a photo? You know, it's like with your friends. It's like, come on, let's take a selfie. And you're not in the mood. Imagine that, but, like, in the workroom. Like, if you're not in the mood to do that.
Imagine that, and then $200,000 is the way that you would, like, just sitting over you. Like, if you're not in a good mood now, you can't get all this money.
Get in a good mood, because you've got debt.
You've got debt, Diva. Yeah. Do you know how much this costume cost? But yeah, do you know what I will say? Kahana was funny. Where's the body? Akira's the body. Right there, safe.
Yeah, I actually think she did better than I was anticipating. It wasn't like a flat line.
No, it wasn't a flat line for me at all.
I think it's so funny how she always is drawn to the characters throughout the season that were just an extension of Kahana. Like when there are character synopses where it's like, ooh, showgirl, like the youngest Joan Crawford, I'll take that one. It's like, switch it up. This is your opportunity to show the world a new side of you, a different side of Kahana. Like, we know you do showgirl. Mm-hmm. You do it really well.
I think sometimes girls who are very pretty.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
I was like, I'm looking at you, Cynthia. Struggle with the show with being ugly.
Yeah, you cannot be scared to be ugly.
Yeah. I think sometimes that's like an underlying thing, because that was a big... That was a big fear for me when I was going on, was like, oh, am I going to have these moments where I'm going to have to be ugly? I don't like that. But meanwhile, I was ugly the whole time, so it was fine. But
this is the girl who does, like, Gollum. I'm like, what?
I don't like doing Gollum, though.
Yeah, you're like, I hate it.
I hate doing it. I only do it when people, like, ask me to do it, but I hate doing
it. It's kind of iconic.
Thank you. I do it to Seven Rings.
That's what I mean.
Hilarious, right?
You're not afraid to be ugly, so...
You've got to embrace being ugly.
Mm-hmm. Because that in itself, the confidence to go there... Wouldn't you say is beautiful?
Wow.
I'm a poet.
Yeah, but I didn't think she was bottom material.
Fair. But at this point, when you're saying, like, everyone kind of did okay, like, we're splitting hairs.
For me, Candy just didn't give me enough. Mm. It felt like, but she even said, she was just like, Candy had tweeted, you guys know I love my Twitter, mm-hmm. Candy had tweeted, I didn't do a different character because RuPaul literally told me in her season, if doing Candy makes people laugh, always just do Candy.
Right.
So she's following RuPaul's advice, mm-hmm. but it was just for me, I wish she just kind of did something a little different.
You know, I just realized Candy was eating candy in her scene.
Oh, okay, that's smart.
That's kind of smart.
Yeah, that's smart.
Can we talk about RuPaul being the reenactor of Lala Ri? They had that massive filter
I loved it.
on in the scenes that were in the workroom in the main stage so we could visually separate them. At first, I could not tell that was Ru because the shots were too wide. And then I like started to tilt my head and I was like, that's fucking RuPaul.
Oh, I knew immediately. It was so funny.
It was camp. I feel like this season with Jimbo there, Ru's just like playing dress up. They're having fun.
Yeah, it's almost like... Do you remember how Ru loved Georgia so much?
Yes.
Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like Ru loves Jimbo.
But then kind of wants to pay homage to the queens that they love for that moment. It's like flavor of the month being like, oh, it's the season of Jimbo. Let's play dress up and be wacky and wild.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with Georgia, it's like, let's be fierce and like, ew.
Constantly lip syncing. Constant. Over and constant. Over and over.
Constant. And good segue because we see Georgia's this episode.
We do. Thank you very much. I thought that was going to be a really smart one.
Really outdoing yourself. Should we get to the main stage?
I think we should.
Okay, let's do it. Bam, 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 bam,
bam. You wear it well.
RuPaul coming out showing legs and padding. I want to make a little bodysuit like this. It was like a blazer lapel into a bodysuit.
With a kind of like a sexy, like, updo mohawk thing.
And a license plate belt.
What did it say?
Something about butt? Like a bottom butt?
No.
She didn't text you?
No. So rude.
She typically texts me.
Imagine having RuPaul's number.
I can't have it.
Wow.
I know, right?
It's so nice.
But did you like the look? Did you like the look?
I like the look. I like the look. It was. I like when RuPaul switches it up. Mm-hmm. When she comes out in something a little bit different that kind of surprises you.
But bare legs. I feel like we have not seen, like, the whole... We've seen minis, but have we seen, like, Ru
wear... A high-waisted, like, bodysuit?
Yeah.
I feel like we have, but maybe we haven't, but I loved it.
And not in a while.
Not in a long
time. Not in a long time.
Loved in a long time.
So I thought it was fun. The only thing I would have said for Ru is, it's like, you know, some of the gold that was happening around the license plate? I wish they brought that into the top part with the lapel, because it felt very, like, just the sequin. I love when it's sequin with, like, an added, maybe metallic or something on top of it. Do you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, I like
it. Just to make it, like, insane. It's rude.
Oh, you wanted it, like...
More is more, right?
Amplified.
Amped up.
No. I thought it was perfect the way it was.
Cute.
Yeah.
And then Michelle was rocking some silver. Got Carson Kressley there. I feel like... I don't understand Carson's filming rotation. Like, does he
had COVID the one time.
I was going to say, does Ross just, like, check out and do Drew Barrymore? And then Carson gets to swoop in and do it? Like...
Hey, Carsey, I gotta do Drew this week, yeah. So could you maybe fill in?
Hi, Carson.
Hi, Carson.
I gotta meet Drew.
Drew's just like, happy holidays, everybody.
You should do Drew for Snatchy.
Girl, cool. I know Willow did it.
Oh, she did.
Yeah,
she did.
I know. But maybe, like, talk show Drew, where she just, like, always is squatting and never actually...
And grabbing people's hands.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I'm happy you're crying. These are good tears.
I actually watched the Drew Barrymore show the other day, and Mr. Box came in and went... Is that Drew Barrymore? And I went, yeah, she has a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, why? I was like, because it's amazing.
She is wonderful.
Oh, she's such a great host.
Yeah.
I love that Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Hudson, and Kelly Clarkson are our talk show host girlies.
Our media darlings.
Oh, that just fills me with joy.
Jennifer, I haven't gotten into. I haven't seen much of her.
Oh, she's got good ones.
Okay, cool.
She's got good ones. Yeah,
so nice interviews. Does she make them sing a lot? I feel like she's the most, like, I'm a singer.
Oh, no, Kelly's is the singiest one.
Right, Kelly-oki.
Ooh, Kelly-oki. Yeah. They'll be sitting there. Kelly is very singy. But I find Jennifer, it's kind of one of those, like, she's very like, no, maybe we shouldn't.
Don't make me sing.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, I find. But I love Jennifer's. But Kelly's is my favorite.
Okay, cute.
I love the Kelly show. I'll check them out.
But we're talking about Drag Race girly. Our guest judge is Javicia Leslie. And I actually don't know her work, but she's stunning.
I don't know shit. Here, let's look her up. I don't know her either, but she was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you could tell that she was... I love when you get a judge who's like...
Excited to be there.
This is the greatest day of my life. I'm so happy. I have been waiting months for this. Like, I like that. So it felt very... That energy. She is an American actress. Her major role is in a Lifetime film called Swim at Your Own Risk, and she's in the BET drama The Family Business.
Okay, that's probably her biggest.
Yeah. Yeah, so she just does... Oh, she's Batwoman.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there. Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah, Batwoman.
How did you not know that?
I'm not a big DC fan.
Right, there's a difference. I totally knew that.
Yeah.
But the panel is stacked. It's sparkly. And the runway this week is Miss Fill in the Blank.
Love this.
I think it's so funny.
I think it's genius.
At first, I didn't understand the idea of, like, Miss America Fill in the Blank, like a pageant route about it. I thought it was going to be, like, misunderstood or, like, misdemeanor.
I think people would have done that.
But I feel like... I don't know. Let's dive into the looks. I feel like some of it was not as punny.
Yes.
They just kind of did, like, Miss Hot Dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought they were going to be like, I thought it was more wordplay. But then when they started walking out, I was like, oh, I get it. It's like Miss America, which I loved because then it's like pageantry.
Yeah, I would have done more wordplay.
But why didn't they do that for Sasha Colby's season?
Why?
Because she'd be like the perfect, like, pageant, like, walk out there and, like,
I guess, yeah.
I feel like they just missed a great opportunity there to pay homage to her. Anywho, let's start with Jessica Wilde. What did we think of Miss Sausage Party?
I thought it was camp. I thought it was kind of fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun and campy and cute, but I don't know. For something like this, I would want, like, everyone to take whatever it is and go high glam with it.
Mm.
So if it's Miss Sausage Party, all of those sausages are encrusted in stones.
Got it.
Or they're, like, fur. you know, like, I know, gross, but like.
But you mean taking it to another level of opulent.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, she's in like an encrusted gown, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's camp because it's sausages, you know, like that's kind of where my mind sort of wanted them to go, but I thought it was cute.
The hot dog crown was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
It made me a little uncomfortable, but.
You know how I feel about crowns in a competition.
Does that count though if it's edible?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a crown.
Kiss of death.
Kiss of death.
Next we have Kahana, and she was Miss Tired Ass Showgirl.
It kind of felt like something we've seen 100 times with her.
It's just every week it's the same. It's, well, no, it's different straps, but it's always straps.
But different straps.
Very sparkly.
Different colors.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Straps.
Somebody posted, they were like, you can't deny Kahana has given us the strongest Drag Race package in years. And I so desperately wanted to write, like, she has given us some incredible Vegas showgirls looks. Mm-hmm. But you cannot tell me Kahana has given me the best package in years.
No way, Jose.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's gorgeous. But I think it's also another case of, is it fashion or is she skinny?
And is it fashion or is it just super sparkly?
It's very sparkly.
Yeah.
It's mostly straps and breastplates.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's, but it's beautiful.
But it's sitting on a petite, fit figure.
Yeah, that has like big, beautiful hips mm-hmm. and a beautiful flat stomach. So like they're gorgeous, but also think about what you could smear mud and grass on her and she could walk out and I'd be like, you're perfect.
And I didn't feel like this looked tired. I wanted her to lean into the butt of the joke more. Like, if she's going to call herself a tired-ass showgirl, I would have loved to have actually seen that. Like, almost one of your Vegas showgirl costumes distressed. Like, that Moschino show where all the dresses looked like they'd been on fire.
Oh, fun.
Do you know what I mean? Like, something more actually tired-ass showgirl. Like, the ass of your dress be tired.
It's like mothballs through it, you know?
She just looked like regular old Kahana. And I was like, okay, this would have been a chance for you to kind of twist what you are doing already.
Yeah, give us the tired.
It felt like every other runway with a sash.
Even if she wanted to say glam with it, like tired ass showgirl, and she's like going to bed. There's like a pillow.
Well, the tears can be crystals. Like, yeah. Stuff like that. Like, it's exactly, there are ways in which you can, I don't know, twist it. Mm-hmm. So that's our thoughts on Lala. Or excuse me, our thoughts
God.
On, I was reading the script.
Oh, okay.
That's our thoughts on Kahana.
Oh, okay.
Next we have Lala Ri. She was Miss Bootleg. And see, this is fun. This is a narrative.
This is fun. And she had, like, the Asia O'Hara, mm-hmm. like, bootleg DVD.
So camp.
I thought it was fun. It was cute. And I think it kind of leaned into her. It was, like, an evolution of her character from the improv.
Yeah, Forensic Queens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was almost like that's the competition that she would have been in.
Yeah, like, the security guard, like, walked out.
Yeah.
And just walked the runway, which was a great continuum. A great continuum for a successful performance in the acting challenge, because sometimes the runway can throw it. I feel mm-hmm. like we saw it the week with Grace Jones. I wanted to give it to Lala for Joan Crawford, the musical. Mm-hmm. But because of that runway, it was like, ugh. But this week, we got to give it to her happily because mm-hmm. she looked awesome mm-hmm. in both moments on the show. Mm-hmm. Really, really fun. We love you, Lala. A slow, beautiful kiss. Okay, next we have Candy Muse. Next we have Candy Muse. And she was Miss Arrogant.
So this was a shout out to when her and, for those of you who can't see, Cynthia's just like moving her head like a bird. Like, what are you going to say?
What are we going to reference?
What are we referencing? She was referencing her fight during Untucked.
If you don't have star quality?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you don't got star quality. Yeah. And everyone was calling her arrogant for that big fight. And remember, she had the backpack dress on and then like the little girl hair with like the balls and stuff. So this was like an evolution and a shout out to that. And she was saying on Twitter, she was just like, this was like one of the whole reasons like we won an Emmy was like my Untucked episode. Like she was like, and everyone was calling me arrogant. She was just like, I can't believe they didn't get the reference.
Oh, wild.
Yeah.
Well, count me into that, too, because I didn't get the reference.
I got the reference. I saw it, and I was like, oh, I know what she's doing.
Maybe that would have made me like it a bit more, because I felt like the look itself wasn't a strong one for me.
No.
But bonus points for the tiny 3 crowns. She had a crown on, and then she had a little one, and she had an even smaller one.
You know how I feel about crowns.
But it was funny.
I know it's
the
funny.
The mini ones.
I know, but it's a crown at a competition. I'm sorry.
Does it, like, counteract if there's more than one crown?
No, it's a crown in a competition. It's bad luck.
even if it's like three.
It's a crown.
Fine.
If you ever go back on the show and you put a crown on, I'll be like, Cynthia!
And I'll say, this one's for Juice Box.
It says my name.
She told me to do it. Or wait, was it not wear a crown?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And then you lose, and then there's me. I told you. Like, I told you.
See?
You wore that stupid crown.
Cynthia. Okay, next we have Alexis Michelle, and she is Miss Man Pig. And it took me till the very end to notice the fisting glove. What did we think of this look?
I didn't notice the fisting glove.
Yeah, she had one, and she, like, the way she exited the stage, she strategically held her palm in the way in which she would fist somebody.
That girl.
She's kinky.
She's kinky. Yeah, which is, she always likes to kind of bring it out every so often.
Clean in the streets, freak in the sheets, for sure with that girl.
It's, like, dramatic out of the sheets. And filthy, probably drama in the sheets, too.
Yeah. Like, there's always tears. But for different reasons.
Oh, my God. But for different reasons.
Okay, but what did we think of the look?
At first, fine.
I didn't clock the jock strap until partway through. Like piss play, like the handkerchief.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like, how do I say this? I felt like you would understand more of some of those references than I.
Don't I know. I got a laugh at the references. I just, for me, I was kind of just like, it wasn't neither here nor there for it. Like, the look itself just kind of fell flat for me.
Okay.
I was just kind of like, meh. Like, I get it. Like, you're a kinky little dick pig, but like,
Whereas I thought the wedding dress that she did way earlier in the season, where it's like the front of it was very demure and she turned around and her whole ass was out. That was kind of a bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, the whole time, we just kind of had to look at her.
It handed it to you.
Yeah, there was no surprise.
Yeah, it just said, here's, I like sex. Yeah. And we're all just like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you're Miss Man Pig. And do you think she couldn't say dick pig?
Yeah.
They had to say man pig.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just realizing that right now.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, what's a man pig?
Yeah, it was dick pig.
Oh. Okay.
Because I was watching it and I was like, they should have said, oh.
TV. And you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
VH1. No, MTV. Wow, I can't keep up.
No.
Wow. Okay, and then last.
No, I think this is Paramount Plus. All Stars, I think, is Paramount Plus. Keep in mind, we're Canadian, so we just have one platform.
Yeah, we watch it on Crave.
Yeah, we just watch it on Crave.
Yeah. A.
Hey.
And then last but not least, we have our Canadian, great segue.
Tits McGee,
wearing a Z cup.
I liked it.
I thought it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was cute. She had fun little moments where she like put in like untucked where she had her drink in her boobs.
Yes.
Right? So I thought it was great. I loved it. It was very like kind of typical of Jimbo's archetype with just like she's going to lean on the breast.
Yeah.
But what else would she have done?
Mm-hmm. And we went from a flat-chested Jimbo the week prior.
Which was uncomfortable.
And so I felt like I was happy to see the tiggled bitties back.
The biggest one she has, too.
That's what I mean, from flat to Z.
Me and Jimbo were actually texting, and I said, when you win, I just straight up said, when you win. Like, I just assumed it.
Yeah.
I was like, can you buy some that are so big you have to put them in a wheelbarrow and run around stage with a wheelbarrow titties? And he's like, that's the goal.
Have you ever seen that video of her butt silicone popping on stage?
Yeah, I did.
It's the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Wildly uncomfortable because when it pops, it kind of looks like cum.
Yes.
Like it looks like a blob of cum.
It's like a cloudy silicone.
Oh, but it's kind of like, it's gross.
But I think the Z cups are filled with like cotton or something less liquid because they are.
No, there's no way they could do silicone with
right?
those.
Right? That would have to be cotton. That would be insanely heavy.
Oh my God.
She would need a breast reduction.
My back hurts. I love it.
And that's our runway. It was cute. Yeah. I liked when the girls did a pun.
I prefer, see that, I like the play on words.
Yeah.
Right? I prefer the play on words rather than, like what we were saying, like we didn't really like Tired Ass Showgirl. We didn't really like
Sausage Party,
you know? But like the ones that were kind of a little bit more play on words were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then our winner of the week from Forensic Queens is none other than Lala Ree.
Finally.
Yeah, she gets her flowers.
Ugh, I've been waiting for a Lala fucking lip sync, so I was so excited.
Me too. I was getting worried there with Lala this season where I was like, is she gonna get her moment?
Mm-hmm.
She did.
I thought they were gonna get through it, send her home.
Yes.
I was worried.
I know. So she's still in it. In it to win it. And our bottoms are Kahana and Alexis.
The crybabies.
Crybabies.
The babies.
The crybabies.
Crybabies.
You are good at that.
Thank you.
And we get our lip sync assassin, none other than the Polly Pocket themselves, Georges.
Now tell me, did you feel like Georges threw the lip sync for her sister?
She didn't throw it, but it's Lizzo.
So no matter what, you think Lala's gonna do better?
It's casting. Sometimes it comes down to, like, who's gonna embody the artist better. Some people just inherently are more like the artist. Mm-hmm. Georges is not gonna give you Lizzo energy.
No.
It just doesn't make sense. I want to see Lala get down, dance around, be campy. That is the performance.
Yeah.
Georges doing, like, Punch the Ghost. It's just not the...
See, I felt like Georges. You know, girly likes a joint.
Oh, did you think she was a little...
I think she was blitzed.
No.
You would see
it in the eyes.
I could.
You think so?
I think she was, like, it looked like there was just, like, it looked like she was just dead staring. I think she was stoned out of her mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
Scary.
Well, I mean, she...
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I don't. Like, not me, personally, but I know people who just get, like, absolutely roasted.
Oh, my God, the lip sync assassin.
But she, and I thought, like, and she still was incredible.
There was a piece of hair in her mouth.
That she just didn't care about. She said, leave it.
It was on her face the entire time, and it was really bothering me.
Oh, I thought it was kind of cunt. I like
that. I've seen that. I think I saw that wig in person. The bob is really cute. But I felt like for the performance, I wanted her to have longer hair.
See, this is what I'm saying. I think she came in. She said, I'm going to really fucking stone. I'm just going to have a good time and get my money.
Some girls are doing the most.
And she's like, some girls are going to do the most. I'm going to go out there and just be amazing because Rue loves me. And mm-hmm. I'm so good at what I do. I'm going to get really high, dance around. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to love it. I'm going to cash my check. And then I'm not going to win that lip sync and let Lala go home with a big fucking check.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And let that be the... America's Sweetheart moment. Like, don't take it from her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like, if I was a girl who, like, did better on my season and, like, was a little bit more established with, like, who I was on Drag Race, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't see, like, me coming back as a lip sync assassin as, like, I need this moment.
Like a LaGanja moment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, where she's like...
I need this to redeem. Like, let everyone remember that I'm an amazing dancer. It's been yeah. so long.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But if you were someone who's recently been on, mm-hmm. I would go in and be like, I'm not gonna... go super hard. I'm gonna let them get some money.
We've had a lot of recent queens as of late.
Season 14 has been the past 3 weeks.
Like it's the channels right there.
Yeah, I'm waiting for fucking like Sasha Willow Colby. To walk out. Oh my God, Sasha walks out. Imagine Sasha Colby walks out as a living assassin. I would walk off stage.
She didn't actually leave set.
Yeah, she just stays.
It was like, hey, just hang tight for like a couple days.
If Sasha Colby, imagine what that person would do. They would look at Rue like, are you fucking serious?
If he with Jimbo.
If I was one of the eliminated, the queens who's going to get eliminated, mm-hmm. I would even look at Rue like, fuck you.
Fuck you, Alyssa.
That was good.
But we love to see Georges, no matter how stoned.
I love when she's a little high.
That's so funny. I didn't even clock that. I didn't even think about that.
She just kind of has like a 1,000-yard stare.
Okay.
A little bit when she's performing. So that's what made me think she was like a little high. Mm. You know, there's kind of just that like, she sort of just looks like she's just had a little, mm-hmm. you know, a little oop.
And we see the lip sync, excuse me, we see the lipstick that Lala has chosen. And it's Kahana. That's kind of what happens when you say you're quitting. That episode.
Maybe people are gonna quit for you.
Yeah. I think had they sent anyone else, had they sent Alexis, I would have thrown.
Oh, I would have been furious.
My computer.
It would have been very like when they kept saving Roxy.
Yes.
And Roxy needed to leave.
She needed to go.
She needed to go. And while I'm happy because we got Roxy Andrews and I'm here to make it clear. It was one of those seasons where like Roxy needed to.
Yeah. Like her time's up.
Her time's up. And Kahana's time was up. But imagine being James and seeing this episode.
I think Kahana's time was up. Like
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Yeah. She got a very lucky run.
Yeah, she got a lucky run, and that's good for her. But if I was James and I saw her behavior this episode, wanting to quit. See, okay, here's my thing. Remember how I said I heard that James was in the finale, and it turned out to be wrong information?
Right.
When I was watching this episode, I went, oh, does she leave and James comes back? And then, like, I fucked up and said that on the pod. Oops.
No, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen, yeah.
I'd be mad if I was James, because it's tricky to see someone right after you've been plucked out of the competition not want to be there.
Yes, when you wanted it so bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of, I won't say it. My season. Remember Kimora's lip sync when she like chased Gia like a bird?
Oh yeah, and Kimora
she basically forfeit the competition the next week.
Well, who's no? When she chased Gia like a bird, she got sent home, didn't she?
Yeah, but she basically said, "I want to go home," and that was the week right after I got sent home. And I was like, you don't want to be there anymore?
You were like, I would love to be there.
I would have stayed there. I was just in my hotel room.
So you didn't see the infamous chasing?
No. Mm. I only saw it on TV and then had the girls tell me.
I forgot about that.
I know.
What a lip sync.
So much drag. Lots of drag. So little time.
Yeah.
But that's our episode.
Yeah.
It's a good episode.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's cute.
It was pretty good. The season is kind of falling a little flat for me, but I enjoyed this episode.
But you know what's not falling flat?
Audience questions.
Audience questions. They lift us up. They inflate our hearts. So we are going to check in with some of our SQ cuties.
Okay, so we're going to do some audience questions. This one here is from Dustin, and we actually got to meet Dustin.
Yeah, he was in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hi, Dustin.
Hey, Cynthia and Juice. It's Dustin from Edmonton, Alberta. I'm super excited for you guys to be in Edmonton this weekend for the first annual Edmonton Drag Festival. It's going to be a lot of fun with all the guests that are coming. And I'm so excited to be volunteering for this festival and these lovely times, even though Canada is not as crazy as the United States, we still have lots of work to do too. But I also hope I get to meet you guys. That would be super cool. Thanks for being such shining lights in my week when I get to listen to you guys. And yeah, I guess that's it. Love you. Bye.
Oh, that was so nice.
Aw, Dustin.
Aww.
So sweet. We did meet. This happened.
Mm-hmm.
You recorded that and then, you know, you manifest and it happens.
Yeah, we took pictures together and stuff. So yeah, it was really nice meeting you, Dustin. Thanks for being such a little sweetie babe.
And we love a plug.
Oh, we love a plug.
You know?
We love a plug.
Let them know where the kids can find you. But no, it was a really sweet weekend. Again, weather wasn't on our side. Nor for Juice, even when she tried to let it rain in her number.
Yeah, I wore a human hair wig. I thought I was going to get wet. I was really excited. But nope. No. The rain said no.
No, but yes, it was super fun. And mm-hmm. hopefully next year we'll meet again, Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to take one more question?
Let's do Anthony.
Okay, cute.
But this is Anthony, not Editor Anthony.
Yes,
this
he did specify.
It says Anthony, not me.
Hey, Juice and Cynthia. It's Anthony from Calgary. And this is not Drag Race related, I'm so sorry, but I just have to mention because a couple weeks ago on the pod, you guys were talking about Time Bomb by Kylie Minogue, and I just want to say that song is like so underrated, and I like didn't know anyone else knew about that Kylie Minogue song. So yeah, I just had to bring that up, and while we're on the topic of Kylie, there's been lots of comparisons to her and Madonna recently, saying that she's like just killing the game more than Madonna is. I hear all the Twitter gays talking about how Kylie's doing what Madonna thinks she's doing. I just don't think that's a fair comparison. So I'd just like to know your guys' opinion on that and maybe give one of your favorite underrated Madonna songs. I know that mine would for sure be from like Confessions, probably Jump or Get Together. Yeah, anyways, love you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Anthony. Yeah, Time Bomb is iconic.
Love Time Bomb.
That's such a bop.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the comparison between her and Madonna?
Oh, day old bread. We've been doing that for like ever.
I think there's something about the way that people love to pit female artists against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, the whole thing is like everyone was really into the Taylor Swift concert, and now that the Beyonce concert started, it's mm-hmm. just the big debate. Well, it's not as good as Beyonce's concert. It's just like, of course, it's not as good as Beyonce's concert. Mm-hmm. It's Beyonce.
Yeah.
No one is saying it's better. And if mm-hmm. they are, they're weird and wrong.
Yeah.
But they both can be good concerts.
Totally.
Like, Kylie can be incredible, and so can Madonna.
And as far as, like, Madonna thinking she's doing what Kylie's doing, that's not really, I don't know, I think from what I've gathered about Madonna, is she gets very bored of her own music. If she goes on tour, she wants it remixed, remastered, and nothing like the original. So she feels like it's fun and fresh. So I feel like Madonna's the type, and we see it in her look evolutions over the years. She constantly is evolving. She's way past the, like, pop perfection.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a different stratosphere now. It's maybe a bit more niche, and not everyone's here for it. Padam Padam is, like, an earworm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, they're just different. I'm happy Kylie's getting her flowers, though. She survived breast cancer. Like, yes. That's why she didn't get to do a huge concert back in the day, and she didn't get to tour with her last album. So I'm so happy she's still making music. But
I think somebody had said Kylie knows that it's just ketamine-filled muscle gaze. That it's ketamine-filled muscle gaze that just absolutely are obsessed with her music. And she says, bet, I'm just going to roll with that. And she just makes music that makes you feel good and you want to dance to. And I feel like Madonna's more experimental.
That's it.
Right? And Kylie, not to say she doesn't experiment, but she knows what works.
Did you hear the new song with Madonna and Sam Smith?
No.
Your ears will bleed.
Bad.
It doesn't. It's like sonically
bad.
I heard a little clip of it and it didn't leave me wanting
more. What's your favorite Madonna song? He said underrated, but
underrated. I like the idea of underrated. I love Confessions on a Dance Floor. I can listen to that entire album top to bottom. The fact that you said Get Together, bitch, I used to dance in my room like lights off with that song. Just like pretend I was like at the Confessions tour in like grade, what is that, 9 at the time when it came out.
Oh my god,
I love that album. That album is so fun. And then I also love that song Devil Pray from Rebel Heart a couple years ago. There's just something about it. I like it.
I'm not a massive Madonna fan.
I didn't think you were.
No, so I don't know a lot of like niche ones. But I will say my favorite Madonna song is Like a Prayer. And it's because, listen to me, hear me out.
It's Vogue.
It's Vogue. It's Like a Prayer. And it's just because me and my friends used to go to this one bar and they would play it every Saturday.
Okay, so you have memories.
I have memories about it. Okay, that's the only reason, is like they would play it every Saturday and it would be at like 1:45 in the morning and we'd all just like dance. So like,
I love that about music. You can be, like, it reminds you of a time and a place.
And like, it's her most popular one.
Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah, no, but
really niche.
No, it's not niche at all. But I don't know any niche ones.
Fair.
Yeah.
And as of late, like I tried to get into her last album. I don't know. I think it's swing and a miss right now. And this Sam Smith song is just, I hate to say it, but it just, it's no padam.
But I think even with Madonna.
Look at me comparing. Ah!
Yeah, I know you did. But I think with Madonna, we have to think about generationally. Like, we're kind of like at the cusp and the end of like when her big, big thing was. And we had like Britney and Christina, you know? Yeah. So like, we're in a different generation than those, like, there's older gays that I meet. And they're like, Madonna is their everything.
They're God.
She's like, Madonna's amazing.
I actually think there was an era for queer people that there was no queer representation. And so they had Madonna instead. Like that was their gay icon. Now we have so much visibility where we can actually look up to other queer artists. Like someone like Kim Petras, you know, like, like literally love to see it. And so I think you're right. There are certain generations of queer people that Madonna is like next to God.
Yeah, they're like, she's next to godliness. She's maybe like a prayer.
Okay. Well, this concludes our episode of Semi-Qualified Queens. Thank you, SQ Cuties, for always listening. It literally means the world to us. If you want to follow us on socials, hit us up on Instagram at Semi-Qualified Queens Pod, Twitter at SQQ Pod.
And if you want to be a part of the conversation, just like Anthony, not Editor Anthony, other Anthony, and also Dustin, who we got to meet at Edmonton Drag Festival, come and send us a voicemail, voice note, at www.speakpipe.com/SQQpod. That's speakpipe.com/SQQpod. I had a lot of trouble with that, but we made it. we'll talk to you guys next week. We will be back on our regular scheduled oh my God, will we?
We'll figure that out.
Oh, geez. I don't know where we're going to be next week. So next week is Toronto Pride and like other Pride. I'm going to be in Lethbridge, Alberta. We're going to be in Seattle together.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. We're going to figure it out. But love you guys so much and we will see you next week. Bye. Mwah.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.